Do you reckon you can tell how attractive someone is just by the sound of their voice? Maybe you prefer deep, husky tones when you hear someone speak. I'll give you one example.
I never aim towards being a role model. I aim towards being the man that the 12-year-old Luke Bateman needed to see growing up, because he never got that.
That is the gravelly tones of BookTokker and former rugby player Luke Bateman. Well, new research has looked into this question about which voices we find more attractive and how our sexuality might shape the kinds of voices we're drawn to. You might not be surprised to learn that deeper voices are considered more attractive to everyone except straight men. But what exactly shapes the way we talk and our desires? And how do our voices reflect power or status or our place in the world? Well, Kate Medill is the director of the Voice Research Laboratory at the University of Sydney. Kate, how do you rate your own voice on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, what a great question. Today, right now, this morning, probably I'd rate it about a 9. Oh, I'm pretty happy with my voice.
That's great.
I
love to hear
some
it.
Some days it's different. Some days it's a 5 or a 6.
What, especially in winter when you're shaking off a bit of a cold or something. Although that can deepen your voice a bit.
Well, it can, but it depends how deep do you want to go. And does it go croaky when you go deep? Because that makes a big difference to how people perceive you.
All right, talk me through this. What are we listening for when we're listening for these things?
Well, first of all, we're listening for the pitch of the voice, how high or low we hear it. That's why having a croaky or clear voice is important, because the clearer the voice is, the more easily we can detect the pitch of the voice. The lower we go, however, we'll get to a point where we have to go croaky if we want to go any lower. That's the vocal fry phenomenon. We're also listening for what we call formants. This is a bit of deep physical science here, but basically when we make a sound wave with our vocal cords, they flutter open and closed, that moves the air around. Those sound waves bounce back and forth inside our throat, and the shape of our throat boosts some of those sound waves and damps others. And what we boost, we call a formant. What that means is that sounds that travel through a big, wide, long tube sound very different to sounds the same type of sound or the same pitch that sounds that travels through a small, narrow tube. So, you know, a middle C on a tuba sounds very different to a middle C on a piccolo or a flute. Mm. And that's because the shape of the tube is changing the power in different frequencies, and our ear is sensitive to that. And we read that information as relating to size. Pitch is the same. The longer vocal cords you have, the lower your pitch can be, because they can vibrate more slowly. The shorter they are, the faster they vibrate. So pitch and formants tell us about the size of the instrument that is making that sound. Therefore, it's related to the size of our bodies.
So this research found that humans, apart from straight men, basically preferred lower, deeper voices. Is there some sort of biological ping going off in there that a big body attached to a deep voice is maybe a protector?
Yes, absolutely. But it is interesting that in this particular piece of research, they found that both homosexual men and heterosexual women preferred masculinized voices. So they synthetically masculinized the voice. Although the interesting thing about this research is that the listeners didn't like the changed voice, because they compared them to just a normal baseline. The first big finding was don't change your voice, because people don't find what they perceive to be an altered voice very attractive at all. But the interesting thing too was that the heterosexual men found more feminized voices more attractive. And this is, you know, what we would expect. The voice is our most primitive communicator, the sound of our voice. So we're born using it without words. We convey so much information fundamentally in it. But it is asexual. It does relate to our size and shape, but also to our sexuality, because, of course, size and shape is relative to that. Females tend to be smaller. They definitely have shorter throats and shorter vocal cords, whereas males tend to have bigger bodies. They have bigger throats and longer vocal cords. in the main, of course, there's always that bell curve that says there's exceptions. So we identify a voice very much as being masculine or feminine. We're very sensitive to that. So it sort of makes sense that, in a way, that heterosexual males were more attracted to more feminized voices. The really interesting part is not that the women were attracted to more masculine voices, but that the heterosexual men the homosexual men found the male voice just as attractive. That sort of makes sense as well. So we're very much signing our sexuality around how we respond to voices.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, talking to Kate Medill from the Voice Research Laboratory at the University of Sydney about very important new research about what we find attractive in voices. And it turns out that pretty much everyone, with the exception of straight men, prefer deeper voices in general. I'm asking you about the sexiest voice you know. I promise I wasn't fishing for this, but Tony says Tegan Taylor's voice, 9.9 out of 10. Thank you. Another person says, sexiest voice, Norman Swan, and I'm a straight middle-aged man. and another one says, Dave McCormack should get a mention, Bluey's dad, Bandit. Yeah, how do we perceive voices in cartoon dogs, Kate?
Oh, that's a great question, and I really don't have much of an answer. I think what we probably tend to do is we look for stereotypes because cartoons emphasize stereotypes in so many ways. That's why I think possibly Bluey's such a phenomenon, because it's not so stereotypical. It's much more real life. So, yeah, that's an area of research I can't say I'm strong in.
So one of the things that research has discovered is that women's voices have changed over time. They're getting lower. Is this a physical thing or is this a social thing?
My personal opinion is that it's much more of a social thing, because we haven't really seen major physiological changes in women's larynxes as documented over time. But we have seen very big changes in women's level of empowerment, especially in westernised societies. And of course, as I was saying earlier, the voice is a really important signal, not only of our sexuality, but of our power and status. In fact, research done back in the 1980s by a Queensland researcher, Geoffrey Pittam, found — it was a beautiful piece of research, actually — he found that the voice really signed two major things. This was before the sex research came in. And that was that when we hear a voice, we make a judgment about how powerful the other person is, what their status is, and whether they are like us. So he called it a solidarity index. So are they part of my tribe? Mm-hmm. And that makes sense, because, you know, if you're sort of back, you know, thousands of years ago, wandering around on a plane out in the middle of the wilderness, and you come across another human and you hear them talking before you see them, you need to know, are you a threat or are you part of my tribe? And the voice — our brain is tuned to listen and make judgments about that. So it's a very, very primitive response.
If we convey status and power through voice, are there different standards for men and women?
Certainly, some of the early research done in Vocal Fry and Creek would suggest that there is. Certainly, my own research many years ago demonstrated that men make different judgments about women's voices and men's voices, and vice versa. So the effect of different vocal characteristics is judged differently. So vocal fry in a male is often seen as indicating more status. Vocal fry in a female is often seen as being indicating that they're more neurotic, they're less trustworthy, etc. So there really is, in a way, a double standard around our listening behaviour. But that's probably because there's this very complex interaction between judgments of attraction, and that's what this research was talking about. Am I attracted to this voice? Versus, is this person like me? Have they got more power than me? So those two sort of domains can sometimes be in tension, and sometimes they can be congruent. And so it makes it not reliable how we may judge other people's voices. The other thing that is not sort of talked about in the research, but we've investigated in our lab, is the effect of articulation. We've got a study that we're just publishing at the moment that showed that Australian-speaking gay men produced their pitch with much larger variation, and they pronounced their S sound with a slightly higher tongue position, which is more of a feminine type of tray. So, in fact, you know, there, we can have a sexuality, but then we can be gender non-conforming. We can be self-identified according to be straight or gay acting. We can have a sense of outness or not. We can have internalized homophobia. All of those factors will affect how we communicate. And the other thing that we must say is that it depends who we think we're talking to. We always change the way that we speak dependent on who we think is listening.
That is so interesting. I wish we had more time to talk about it, Kate, but we do need to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tegan. All the best.
One text says, I've been told more than a few times that I have a sexy voice. My voice is deep and soft and I occasionally lisp. Once I was invited away for the weekend, sight unseen, by a client's bank manager I spoke to regularly. Anyway, the texter goes on to say that someone who'd heard their voice finally cross paths told my friend, she sounds really sexy, but she's not like that in real life. And Naomi says, why do we so often get a shock when we see the face that belongs to a voice? How do we build up a picture of who would own a particular voice? Great questions, Naomi.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.